From the Lynn DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of April 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll take up the agricultural energies with Dan O'Brien of K-State University out in Kansas. And as we close out the program, Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. We'll be here to look at the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, we'll probably check in with state statisticians from Illinois and Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana to get updates on crop conditions and progress in their areas. And we'll tell you to dial one more time, one last time, this phone number, 217-244-9455, to pledge your financial support to agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly lower, at least in the corn and the wheat. Nearby contract for the soft red was down a half cent for the day. May futures at 624 and a half, July unchanged on the afternoon at 632 and a half, and the hard red in Kansas City at $6.42 and a half, 2.5 cents lower. May corn futures in Chicago, 618 and a quarter. Down 4.25, July at 6.08, down 4.5, and September at $5.55 and a half, 0.75 cents higher. That was the only gainer in the pit. December futures 5.41 and a half, down 4 cents for the new crop corn. March at 5.53, down 4. May at 5.61 and a quarter, 3.75 cents lower. And next year's December futures at 5.40, down 4 cents. May soybeans up 24 today at $14.61 and a quarter. July 14.65, up 24 cents. August at 14.50 and a half, 24. Higher in September, $13.98 and three quarters, 17 cents higher. November beans, $13.52, up 10.5 on the day. January at $13.51, 9.25 higher in the May. Soybeans, $13.17 and a half, up 7.5. Bean meal at $4.12.10, up $12.30. Bean oil on the day at $55.29, up 20 cents. Live cattle futures on the afternoon, $111.57 and a half. They were down the $3 limit in the June. August at $115.60, down 3 as well. April feeders at $148.40. 2.5 lower. May futures down 3 at $147.85, and the August at $151.22.5, down $3. June lean hogs $1.25 lower at $86.55. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures $103.51 a barrel, up 40 cents. Ethanol at $2.16.6. That's 0.2 cents higher. Natural gas at $1.97.7. 3 cents higher on the day. Diesel or heating oil at $3.13 and a penny, or rather a tenth of a penny. That's finished 1/8 cent lower. And the gold futures at $1,643 even, up $11.10. The dollar at 79.23, down 0.18. The CRB index at 301.30, that's 0.9 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service in the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. It says mostly cloudy skies, a high of 65, a west-northwest wind at about 10 miles per hour. And then this evening, partly cloudy, a low 46 with a west-southwest wind at 6 miles an hour. Wednesday, 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mainly after 1, partly sunny, a high of 75, and winds out of the south tomorrow. They'll run at about 7 to 10 miles an hour. Thursday evening, a 30% chance of showers, thunderstorms, after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy, a low of 42. And Friday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 57 degrees. On Saturday, thunderstorms, cloudy and 61. Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and a low of 43 degrees. Sunday, partly sunny and 58. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 38. And on Monday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 58 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Get ready to dial in now. 217-244-9455 is the number you'll want to call.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's a Tuesday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, asking you to dial this number one last time for the afternoon, 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support to the agricultural programming. Dave Dickey, Director of Ag Programming, alongside this afternoon to tell us about, well, a small little thing that he left us for the day. This morning we had a little challenge, and Davey, you managed to put most of it away, left just one phone call for us to pick up.
Do you know the term on the precipice? Precipice?
Yes.
That's where we are. Because we got to give some thank yous right now to folks like, Stu Messman, who called all the way from Washington State in support of agricultural programming this morning.
He heard us on our air signal?
Oh, he had a lot of tin cans strung together.
Had a big string.
Had a big string called the Internet.
Yeah.
I want to also thank Kim Staggs, and I want to thank John Ark and Dwight Becker and Richard Bent. Big thank you to Marilyn Lindholm and Richard Furr and Lon and Linda Akers. All these people have put us on the edge of doing something wonderful, because Bill and Amanda Bosdek from Bosdek Farms and Chuck Shelby and Bill Gentry, the folks at Risk Management Commodities, said it's the last day of the fund drive. It's Last Chance Texaco. We will band together, each putting in $500 in the kitty, $1,000 at stake when we hear from 25 supporters of agricultural programming today. Well, we're one away.
Oh, you did not tell me that. You left that little tidbit out, $1,000, not
$500. $1,000 today.
Oh, well.
And we're one away. Well, 217-244-9455 is the number to call. Mm-hmm. We like the $120 level. More is just peachy.
Less is great, too.
But if you go a little bit bigger, $150 level today, we have this cool-as-can-be radio that we've been giving away all week, the Eton Radio. It's AM, FM, NOAA weather band, runs on batteries, runs on solar power, runs on a hand crank, if you want to do it that way, too. 15 minutes or about 90 seconds of a hand cranking. Also can charge your cell phone. And it has a flashlight on it. It is the jackknife of radios.
Tell me how to wash the dishes.
If you get one right now, I'll go over to your house and wash the dishes.
Oh, there you go. All you got to do is dial what number?
217-244-9455 is the number to call.
You betcha. And Heather Miller is here, too. She takes care of a large part of the fund drive for us, making sure to keep track of everything. Tell us how we're doing. And the ag audience has responded. They always do. They come in for
always
us. They always do, don't they?
Yeah,
absolutely. And when they do that, it makes a big difference. And
huge.
What's our goal? Where are we at?
We have had over 100 phone calls today, in large part due to the fabulous ag audience, and I'm so excited because I get to talk to the ag audience.
Yay!
I've worked at WILL for 17 years, and I've never got to pitch ag. But in a moment's desperation, yes, they let even me come on the air and say, that radio that Dave was talking about, you need that radio. You know why you need that radio? Because you don't know where your flashlight is.
That's exactly
if the power
right.
goes out, what are you going to do? You're going to call WILL 217-244-9455. You're going to make a $150 pledge. We're going to send you a flashlight that you can find. And that would be terrific. And I have a special thank you to Bob Snyder of Tuscola, because I grew up with Bob in Tuscola, great town to grow up in. He's a farmer there, wonderful person. And he made his pledge of support because he likes to spend Bill's money. So if you would like to be the person to pick poor Bill's pocket and give us that last pledge on that $1,000 challenge, we would love to hear from you this afternoon. Anyone and everyone farming in Tuscola, let's hear from you today.
So pick the back pocket of Bill Gentry or Chuck Shelby. An extra $1,000, all we really need is
and
one phone Bosdick call.
Farms.
And Bosdick Farms. We just need that one phone call, 217-244-9455. Please do it right now. On this Tuesday afternoon, time to check the futures markets on the phone line. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. And he's going to help us take up the marketplace and see what it is that's happening there. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's been a great afternoon for fundraising. A good day for the ag audience. We're awful glad to have you on board with us this afternoon. Tell me about the marketplace.
Well, you know, it's a classic buy the rumor, sell the fact. As far as the corn business went, we were looking for that just about 500,000 metric ton sale to China, and 480,000 metric tons were announced this morning. The enthusiasm only seemed to last about 15 minutes, though, Todd. We ended up 4 cents lower on the day. But Michael Cordner's prediction of a smaller Argentine bean crop sure stuck with us the rest of the day as we ended up 24 cents in the old beans.
No, yeah, you know what? We have him scheduled, I think, for May 11th. That's a bit away, but we have him on. He wanted to go further out because he wanted to talk about the crop here in the United States. So he'll be on Commodity Week then, and we're awful glad to have him. What did he say about the South American numbers?
Well, he dropped the Argentine crop another couple million metric tons and said that it looked like it could even get smaller, but that was his number for now. He did say that we would, he was putting a bottom in, though, at like 37 million metric tons, which is still down another 4 million metric tons, that it's the possibility if we have the worst-case scenario.
Now, I heard from the state statistician last night in Indiana. He tells us that, and we'll hear it a bit later, I think, in this program, as long as we have time, that you're moving along pretty quickly in both corn and soybean planting this year.
Yeah, Indiana is only second to Illinois as far as we're going along on progress. And, you know, we're probably a full 2 weeks ahead of what we generally are at this point in time. And we're just a tad worried about this cold weather that's forecast for Sunday and Monday nights. You know, look, those mornings could get pretty cold, some in the upper 20s and 30s in some areas. And that's just a little bit worrisome for some of those little beans that have stuck their head out of the ground.
Yeah, they aren't nearly as cold tolerant as the corn, and the corn sometimes gets a little touchy about it, don't they?
Yeah, yes, it does. Mm. You know, like I say, I think we're going to be in fairly decent shape on the corn that's up, but any of those little beans sticking up could be a little bit hesitant to us. But, you know, as the last few days we look at things, the trend seems to have weakened in the corn, and the trend seems to have very strengthened the corn. We're sort of at the top of the range in the beans and the bottom range in the corn. And our old buddy Paul Cooley always says, let the trend be your friend. So it looks like we don't want to be short beans right now.
Yeah, hey, you know, cash basis has been strong all year since the harvest season for corn.
Record levels.
Yeah,
yes.
And it's still that way. Does it surprise you?
Does it surprise me? Well, not in our area, because we've got an ethanol plant right up at Linden, one right down at Cloverdale, and they have cleaned the bins out fairly good over here, and the farmers have been pretty good sellers all along. So we know that we're in a corn deficit area as far as that, because of all the usage from ethanol. But in some of the other areas holding in like it has been a little bit surprising. So there might not be quite as much corn out there as the government's saying.
Hey, speaking of Paul, we'll get to talk to him tomorrow. It'll be his last day on a Wednesday with us, and then he'll be on Commodity Week, too. So we'll find out.
I think we might get to talk to him on Friday. What do you think?
Yeah, I think we should.
I think so. No, it's such an era. It will be the end of an era when Paul Cooley leaves. He was right there at the beginning with Charlie and all the way through here, and he's really been quite an individual.
Yes, indeed he has. Thank you so much. We appreciate you taking time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Have you dialed in yet at 217-244-9455? We sure do hope so. If not, we're looking for just one call to make our challenge, and we'll put an extra $1,000 courtesy of several folks up to Risk Management Commodities, including Chuck Shelby and Bill Gentry and a few others. And if you make that phone call right now, an extra $1,000 comes into the kitty at WILL 217-244-9455 and support of ag programming at Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the latest crop progress numbers that shows 28% of the corn crop has been planted as of the 22nd day of April. 15% is the rolling five-year average. 9% of that crop is out of the ground or emerged. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 2%. 6% of the soybeans around the nation have been put into the ground. Compares to 2% on the rolling five-year average. And 42% of the wheat crop is now headed. That's way ahead of the five-year average of just 15%. The national wheat crop is in really good condition as well. Last week, 25% of it was fair. That's the same as this week. Only 29% last week was in good condition. This week, half of the wheat crop said to be in good condition and in excellent condition, up more than double. 6% last week. This week, 14%. That's a quick look at the numbers. Now here are the state statisticians with their updates.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office. Statewide temperatures averaged slightly above normal at 53.2 degrees, and rainfall accumulations came in at 76 one-hundredths of an inch, which was 18 one-hundredths below normal for the seven-day period ending April 22nd. Subsoil moisture below the 6-inch profile was rated at 64% adequate or surplus. That was unchanged from last week. Corn planting advanced by another 18 percentage points to a record 59% complete. This compared to 10% planted last year and 17% for the 5-year average. Corn emergence now stands at 21%, and this compares to 1% last year and for the 5-year averages. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn progress was the West Southwestern at 80% planted and 56% emerged. Soybean planting made minimal progress last week and now stands at 5% complete. However, this is still ahead of the 5-year average of 1%. Oat seeding reached 97% complete compared to 70% last year and 65% for the 5-year average. Heading of the soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 55%, well ahead of the 1% five-year average. 7% of the wheat heads were reported filled. Condition of the winter wheat crop was rated 1% poor, 15% fair, 56% good, and 28% excellent. Red clover, pastures, and alfalfa were all rated in mostly good condition. And the first cutting of alfalfa was just getting underway at 9% complete, compared to 1% last year and for the 5-year averages. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Nebraska Field Office. Field activities picked up momentum last week, but were slowed due to damp soils. Soil temperatures ranged from the low 50s in the northern counties to the upper 50s across the south. Light precipitation fell across much of the state during the week, but most areas received less than half an inch. Topsoil moisture supplies improved, but were still below a year ago levels. Corn planted increased to 14%. Wheat jointed at 59% continued 2.5 weeks ahead of average. Wheat conditions rated mostly good to fair, well above last year and average. The first cutting of alfalfa was 5% complete, and spring calving was nearing completion with below average calf losses reported. This is Scott Keller with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, the Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report. Above average precipitation was reported for the week ending April 22nd, improving soil moisture supplies across the state. The average rainfall amounts varied from 0.8 of an inch in the northeastern areas to 1.8 inches in the west central areas. Spring wheat planting advanced to 84% complete, compared to 0% last year and 17% for the 5-year average. 20% of the state's spring wheat was emerged. Barley planting was 52% complete, compared to 1% last year and 17% for the average. Oats planted were 81% complete, compared to 4% last year and 26% for the average. Land prepared for corn was 36% complete, and 11% of the corn was planted. That compares to 0% last year and 12% for the average. land prepared for soybeans was 13% complete. Sugar beet planting was 45% complete, compared to 0% last year and 13% for the average. Green pea planting was 44% complete, compared to 0% last year and 12% for the average. Potato planting was 41% complete, compared to 0% last year and 14% for the average. Canola planting was 9% complete, compared to 0% last year and 7% for the average. That's the weekly crop weather report for the week ending April 22, 2012. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office in Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending April 22nd. Some farmers have already reported that they have completed their planting, while others have not yet even started. Overall planting progress for corn and soybeans advanced rapidly, continuing the record pace set at the start of the season. The 2012 record planting pace has now surpassed 2010, when approximately 39% of the corn crop was planted and 6% of the soybeans were planted at that time. Cool nighttime temperatures have slowed emergence in some areas, and frost damage is still being monitored in some localized areas. Subsoil moisture was rated 4% very short, 23% short, 69% adequate, and 4% surplus. Precipitation averaged from 0.2 to 1.0 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 81 to a low of 33 degrees. Indiana corn planting was 46% complete, compared to 2% complete at this time last year and 10% for the five-year average. By regions of the state, 42% of the intended corn acreage is planted in northern Indiana, with 47% planted in the central region, and 50% of the corn was planted in southern Indiana. 10% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 0% for last year and only 1% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans was 11% complete, compared to 0% for last year and 1% for the five-year average. 69% of the winter wheat acreage is in the jointed stage, compared to 33% last year and 38% for the five-year average. 19% of the winter wheat is headed, compared to 0% for last year and the five-year average. Winter wheat condition for the week was rated at 76% good to excellent, compared to 61% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming with us today to take a look at the forecast. Hi, Don. How are you? And what's up in the weather for our part of the world this week?
Well, it is looking very much like I guess it should as we head into late April and heading into early May. It's a pretty active weather pattern will be found across the United States with several systems marching coast to coast. We're going to see things even out a little bit in terms of our temperature extremes. Boy, this week, big warm-up in the west and the western plains states and some areas of the Midwest, and, of course, the snow and the cold in the east. So we've had two big extremes. But as we get into the next week or 10 days, conditions will be a little bit more stable, although many areas of the Midwest and Corn Belt will see temperatures ending up just a little bit below normal over the 10-day period.
It's been truly cold out east, icy weather even in the last several days, right?
No, that is correct. Record snows in portions of the eastern Great Lakes and portions of the Appalachians and many areas of the eastern Corn Belt experiencing some pretty significant cold. But with the weather pattern evening out a little bit, there will be some easing to that, but we'll feel the effects of the coolness at least for a couple more days here. Then we will see some warmer weather move in over the weekend, although there's really nothing terribly warm coming as these systems coming west to east across the country will keep chances for shower and thunderstorm activity fairly high over the next week to 10 days.
Sounds like not too bad a forecast for the beginning of the growing season.
Not really. In fact, that's what you want, kind of even out the extremes a little bit and have some frequent chances for precipitation, and that's exactly where we're headed. For many of the key growing areas of the country, especially the Corn Belt, some of the Western Plains areas will do well, and precipitation chances are going to be pretty even across most of the country. Thank you.
It's St. George's Day, patron of farmers.
George was born to a Christian family during the late 3rd century. Eventually, he was martyred after refusing to participate in the persecution of Christians across the Roman Empire. George was sainted in 496. On this day in agricultural history in 1856, Granville T. Woods was born. Among Woods' inventions was an electric incubator for hatching chickens. In 1981, artificial skin was first transplanted in the U.S. on patients at Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. The combination of cowhide, shark cartilage, and plastic was developed by a research team at MIT. This material makes possible the treatment of burn patients whose injuries might otherwise be fatal. In 1985, Coca-Cola announced it was changing its 99-year-old secret formula. New Coke, though, was a big flop. In 1992, the first McDonald's in Beijing, China opened. It is the world's largest McDonald's with 28,000 square feet, seating for 701,000 employees. And in 1993, Cesar Chavez died. He was the founder of the United Farm Workers Union. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Dave Dickey here with an update on how we're doing on our fundraising for Illinois Public Media. Remember, 42% of our budget comes from you, our listeners, including our ag listeners. And Dave, did we do it? Did we make it?
I believe we did make it, Todd. I believe we did. 217-244-9455, the number
to call.
Oh,
you just want to make sure that they call.
Well, no. I will say we are blowing the doors off this challenge this afternoon, just obliterating it. And a great outpouring of appreciation from Todd and I for all the calls that we received on this challenge. We have made the challenge, but we need to keep pushing in support of agricultural programming as we build for the new year. As you know, Todd, all the dollars that we have to be in the bank by June 30th of this year, and that's how we build the budget for next year. So these dollars right now, extremely important as we look at our agricultural future next year. So keep those calls coming. 217-244-9455. Remember that cool as can be, slick radio for $150 does everything but whistle Dixie.
Yeah, every dollar counts, and even whistling Dixie, it all counts. 217-244-9455. Dan O'Brien at K-State has been patiently waiting on the phone to talk about the agricultural energy markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, we're going to skip agricultural energies because you want to talk about production and cane production, other crops, too, in South America. If you've got a little something together for us today?
Yes, in fact, what happens in South America on sugarcane production is awfully important with regard to the U.S. Import-export markets for ethanol. We kind of go in two directions at the same time with regard to what we do with Brazil on ethanol imports. In the last full market year, 2010-11, exported 615 million liters of ethanol to them, but we imported 370. A lot of that depends on the locations and the various mandates and laws that are involved in all that. When you look at the trends, I think it's a fair question to ask Todd. Will we keep seeing increases in cane sugar production and the raw material for ethanol coming out of Brazil? And when you look at the history of the gains per year that they've had, they've been on a pretty strong growth course, well, for cane production, but also for corn and soybean production over the last several decades. So just based on the past, we'd say that the growth would probably continue. There are some folks that question and actually some internal resistance in their own country to further expansion in some of those lands. But until they'd hit those limitations, it looks like that the brief cutback we've seen in the production trend is in this last year will probably reestablish itself, and there'll be a strong competitor on into the future.
Any bottom line in 10 seconds from your presentation that we need to know about for sure?
It's all in balance. What happens for corn this summer? Here in the U.S. we'll have a lot to do with the affordability of ethanol and such as we go forward into the coming year.
Dan, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Dan O'Brien is with K-State University, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for Tuesday afternoon. Thank you so very much for dialing in. And if you haven't yet, 217-244-9455.